Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, the stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Greta Anderson, and today I am joined by a new reporter and producer and host for Local Talk, Sandra Luft. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Greta. I'm excited to be here.
Listeners of our show may remember Sandra as my guest a few weeks back when we talked about the family-friendly bike ride she organizes in Ames called Kittical Mass. Besides being a bicycling enthusiast, Sandra is a mother of two young children, and it is mainly that perspective she'll be bringing to our show as a regular correspondent. Right, Sandra?
Yes. My goal is to report on all kinds of fun things going on in the community, especially things for families and kids.
And have you decided on a name for your segment?
I did. I think I'm going to call it Family Talk.
Family Talk. Great. Mm-hmm. Now we have Art Talk and Family Talk.
As part of Local Talk.
As part of Local Talk. And besides that, you might notice that Sandra has a distinct and beautiful accent. She's actually born in Romania and spent several years of her life in Germany. Sandra now teaches German as a lecturer at Iowa State and acts as a student advisor in the World Languages and Cultures Department. In fact, your life seems pretty awesome. Lots of balance and family and work.
Right. I mean, that's always something we strive for, right? That work-life balance. And so that's something that I think I'll probably bring to the family talk show as well. Maybe some conversation about that as well.
Great. Well, we are so glad to have you here at Local Talk, and it's a pleasure to have you here this morning with me. Later in the hour, we will be speaking with another local volunteer journalist who blogs about events in the areas for family and kids, and she just walked in the door, so that's wonderful. But the main topic of our show today is the intersection of books and kids. This week, as it turns out, is Children's Book Week, a week to celebrate the doors that open when a parent reads to a child or a child picks up a book.
As part of our celebration, we've collected audio from the directors of libraries in our area about their favorite children's book or memory. Throughout the hour, we'll be sharing these brief interviews. Let's start with this very touching piece from the director of Bertha Bartlett Public Library in Story City, Iowa, Colleen Taylor.
My name's Colleen Taylor, and I'm the library director at the Bertha Bartlett Public Library in Story City. I think that when I look back to what really engaged me originally to reading was the book that many of you have read, Charlotte's Web. And it's a wonderful book that I read in third grade that talked a lot about farm animals. That made a lot of sense to me because I grew up on the farm, and I knew everything there was to know about farm animals. What I didn't know a lot about was how to make friends. And the book, Charlotte's Web, is primarily a focus on making friends, crossing differences, crossing challenges, and how important friendship is. Up until that point, I struggled with reading, and that book just ignited something special inside me. I was a very shy person in a world that had lots and lots of families that knew each other. Everyone knew each other except me. I was very isolated. I also had a very bad speech impediment. I couldn't communicate well with my teachers or my classmates. When I read the book, it made me stop and think about how I was different from everyone else, and it made me understand that it was okay. It also made me want to challenge myself to be different than the way I was apparently born to be. That made me shift gears a little bit and focus very strongly on what I was being taught by speech pathologists. And there was a lady by the name of Mrs. Batchelor who did wonderful things with teaching me how to express myself, talking differently than the way most children were taught to talk. It helped pull me out of a terrible isolation that I had been in up to that point. Charlotte's Web is a book that does bring promise and hope to children and delightful images of what friendship can be, and communicating and being faithful and loyal and strong in your determination were all elements that that book brought to light that I absorbed into my own personality and that I still carry with me today.
That was Colleen Taylor, director of the Bertha Bartlett Public Library in Story City. Isn't that a remarkable story, Sandra?
It is. I could certainly relate with part of what she said, especially as an only child, and how books can be your friends, not even, as she said, help you make friends or overcome certain things, but just the book itself was often a friend.
Yes, and later in the show, I talked with Amos Public Library Director Lynn Carey, and I know that she would analyze this because she was talking about Winnie the Pooh, but it's much the same thing. She was saying how she loved the book because it talked about community in which everyone with their differences and quirks can come together and create a really beautiful thing, a really beautiful community. And it just, I guess we're just social animals, and children's books often teach children that very important fact.
Right. So even though reading is often seen as kind of an isolating experience because it's something you do on your own, it's pretty solitary, there's this beautiful power for books to connect us all and to build community, actually.
Yeah, and to create a vision for what community looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sandra, by the end of the show, we will have you tell us your favorite book memory.
Sure, I will think about one.
and our guest here will also, we'll introduce her in a second. In the meantime, why don't we introduce to the listening audience a program that another young mother has organized to model the idea of building community around books. And that would be Baby Book Club. This is something you've done yourself, right, Sandra?
Yes, I used to participate in the Baby Book Club, and it's a wonderful idea started by my friend Sarah Miller. I think we even have a little bit of a clip, right, to hear what
yes.
it sounds
uh-huh.
like. What book did it read today? Can anyone tell her?
So I went over and visited a session of Baby Book Club, and it was snack time. They had already read their book, but they had Ritz crackers, and on the Ritz cracker was a little pile of cream cheese, and then they'd taken a cherry tomato, cut it in half, and spread it out to make the two ladybug wings. And there was an olive for the head, and I don't know what they were using for antenna, but two little things sticking out of the olive to create an antenna. And so they were going to eat a ladybug. But they had already had an activity of sort of running around the room looking for ladybugs that Sarah and the other adults had hidden. So the book was called Yoo-hoo, Ladybug, Where Are You? And the children, after having read the book, were running around and
looking for ladybugs.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's exactly how the book club meetings work. We and they still pick a book, just like any adult book club works. You pick a book, you have a different book each month, usually a board book, so that the children can get through it. And then there's always an activity that pulls from what we read in the book, and then a snack that also mimics whatever the children just read about, whether it's an animal or an event or something, to kind of tie it all in together.
And what Sarah says is that this is maybe more common for preschoolers, but she really stretched the idea by bringing it way down to the baby level. And how young were your kids when you first started, your daughter?
Yeah, I actually was just looking back at photos last night, trying to remember all the different books we read and activities we did. And I think they weren't even one yet. They were really little, and they would sit on our laps and usually want to eat the book. But we felt very strongly about introducing our love of books to them and starting them young. And, you know, going again back to that sense of community, part of it was, I think, that we all wanted this venue. The experience of getting together, of spending time together, even if our children weren't quite at the reading level yet. It was also that community with other parents.
I was going to say, it's a lot about the moms getting together, too, and having that other person to talk to. And, you know, everything from napping struggles to potty training struggles to what have you. So it's, and I apologize off topic, but the first play group I went to back in Kansas City, the all the kids were still in their carriers, and they were all sleeping. Yeah. And so it was all of the moms sitting around drinking coffee and talking about their kids. And of course, as they got older and as we joined classes and music classes and book and library classes, you know, it was about the bringing our children into that experience. But I still laugh about that we all looked at our kids going, well, this was for them, but it's a lot about for the moms too. Mm-hmm. and dads and dads, stay-at-home dads.
Mm-hmm. And that was the voice of Jennifer Hansen.
<I'm> sorry.
No problem. Jennifer is a blogger mom, and we're going to talk about her, what she's doing in a bit. And actually, she shares that with my co-host, Sandra. Mm-hmm. Sandra is also a blogger mom. So speaking of community, I had the great joy of bringing these two together in the studio today. So can't wait to hear what happens when they start chatting. Let's listen to Sarah Miller of Huxley, Iowa, talk about how she founded Baby Book Club and what it's like. This is Greta Anderson of Local Talk. I'm here with Sarah Miller of Huxley, Iowa. She started what she calls a baby book club for herself, her family, and her friends who had babies at the time. I hear that it's been going for 2 years, so it has turned into somewhat of a toddler book club, although other babies are joining the mix as the families mature. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And can you just describe the scene of a meeting of your baby book club? Where does it take place? How many people are there and what's going on?
Sure. We have currently about 10 families that come together about once a month, sometimes twice a month, but at least once a month. And we get together. Currently we meet at a local church just because we're using that space. But we used to meet in my home. We don't do that anymore because our group has grown so large. And when we get together, our meetings are based around a children's book that we've pre-selected, and all the families have read the books in advance to their children. And then at our meetings, we have an activity and a snack based around the book. So we're kind of bringing the book to life, so to speak. And it's a lively scene with that many toddlers and now almost as many babies joining us. So it's a very active, lively group of people that get together. When we started the group, our oldest children were all just over a year old. So, and they've grown. So now our oldest children are around 3 years old. So our activities are growing with the children. Early on, we did things like, one of our first books was we read Mr. Brown Can Moo, Can You?, which is a Dr. Seuss book. It's all about sound. So we made rainmakers and we ate Rice Krispies with milk so they could hear the sound of the Rice Krispies popping, for example. We have read books like Apples Here, and we did apple printing. So the children, we cut the apples and dipped them in kids-safe paint, and they did apple prints, and we ate applesauce for a snack. As the children have grown and gotten a little bit older, we read a book like Hey, Wake Up by Sandra Boynton, and we did yoga in the park with the kids. They all got together, and we tried to teach the toddlers yoga, which was an interesting experience. So things like that.
Who has more fun, the kids or the moms?
That's probably a toss-up. We started this for the kids, obviously, but it is equally something that we do for the parents that are involved. It's a great opportunity for us to get together, to be creative, and just to have time to talk to each other. Mommy, daddy, parent time is really important. And so usually after we do the activities and the snack, we give the kids just time to play. And oftentimes we'll stick around and talk and socialize as well.
That's nice, because I know that having young ones can often isolate a parent socially.
Yeah, and we have about equal numbers of parents that stay at home full-time with their kids and parents that work part-time. And then we have some parents that work full-time and actually have made it a priority to take time off in the morning once a month to come to this, because it's been an enjoyable experience.
So what made you think of doing this, starting a baby book club?
Well, I had seen lots of other similar book clubs. I kind of had read ideas online. I didn't know of anything specifically in our community that was similar. And so after reading about these book clubs and hearing about them, most of them were for preschool age children. And at the time, my oldest child was only just over a year, but I thought we could do this. We can do this with young kids. We can do age-appropriate activities. And I just met a group of really great parents with children who were the same age, and we started talking and decided we can make this happen. And our book club, I think the age range is a little bit unique. I've seen these children parent book clubs, but like I said, usually the youngest I've seen is about preschool age.
So how did you meet all these parents?
A lot of luck. I met a lot of the parents through the public library, just by chance, really. We went to some of the local programming for kids, and we all started talking, and our children were all about the same age, and we had a lot of similar interests. We were interested in literacy for our children, in reading in general for ourselves. We were interested in healthy snacks, feeding our children healthy foods, and just had similar kind of like-mindedness.
Well, speaking of literacy, how have you seen the kids progress from age 1 to age 3?
Well, certainly we're reading more involved books, longer books, but I think what's most interesting for me is watching how much bringing a book to life like this for kids really helps them appreciate the books and the stories. It's just another way to engage them, I think, in reading and literacy. Every time we read a book for Baby Book Club, or what we now call Baby Toddler Book Club, since our children are older, my son always has more of an interest in the book after we've had the meeting. I mean, after we've gotten together, he's really excited to talk about the book. He wants to share what we did with other people, and he often will pick the book off his shelf more often.
Okay, so what advice would you have for someone who wants to start a baby book club among their friends? Any ideas?
Well, I would say do it. It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of work. We have a blog that we've put together, and we've tracked everything that we've done from our first meeting all the way up until our current meeting, and we're continuing to update that blog. And on that blog, we have tips and advice for people that want to start a book club. We were asked about that. We also have details about what we've done, recipes for all of our snacks. So if anyone wants to start this and you don't know where to start, certainly you're welcome to use what we've done. My only other tip would be just not to be scared of the chaos. It can be, it can seem like a lot when you have a big group of toddlers and parents together, but it's always so much fun that it always weighs out.
And can you give the address of your blog?
Sure. It's babytoddlerbookclub.wordpress.com.
And driving up to your house, I saw there was a little free library outside. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. Our family happens to have a little free library, and these are freestanding structures that are weatherproof, and they have books in them. And the concept behind the little free library is a free book exchange. So people can come and take a book, they can leave a book, they can exchange a book that they've had previously. And these little free libraries they're actually all over Story County. And really it's an international movement. So they're all over the country, and all over the world.
Do you see a lot of action on your etchers?
Certainly with the weather warming up, we do. We've had lots of exchange of books and lots of kids that come and use it that walk down and, we'll bring books and take books as well.
Cool. Well, anything else you'd like to say about Baby Book Club?
No, it's just been a wonderful experience for us. And we do have contact information on our blog. So if anyone's interested in starting a book club, but like you had mentioned, doesn't know where to start or has questions, I'm always happy to share information about what we've done.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Greta Anderson. I'm sharing the studio with co-host Sandra Luft, who is joining our Local Talk team. And what we just heard, Sarah Miller, who organizes a baby book club down in Huxley.
We're discussing kids and books today because it's Children's Book Week.
So, Sandra, is there anything, any memory of Baby Book Club that you have that just comes to mind besides what Sarah shared with us?
Yeah, Sarah did a great job explaining it, and she does a really wonderful job organizing it. One that I loved and my daughter loved was when we read The Little Mouse, The Big Hungry Bear, and the Red Ripe Strawberry, which Jennifer's nodding, you know it. We went strawberry picking at the Berry Patch Farm, which is a local berry farm here. And so that was a really beautiful way of connecting the book, the story, to a local farm. Again, that the idea of encouraging healthy eating, local eating, and the movement of the children running around outside picking the strawberries, they all got completely covered in them. So I think what I really love about the club is this integration of movement, activity, community, and literacy.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, and then Sarah mentioned, or I mentioned, the Little Free Library outside, and you have a connection to Little Free Libraries as the organizer of the Kidical Mass bike rides.
That's right. I started noticing a bunch of Little Free Libraries popping up in our community here in Ames last summer when the library had a grant and I think had about 10 installed in different areas throughout the city. And so they started popping up on my bike ride home. And really the best way to experience a Little Free Library is on foot or by bike, not in a car, because you need to be able to just stop and look inside and grab a book or share a book. And so I thought this works so well with our bike rides. And so we had a Books and Bikes tour, which I think I mentioned the last time I was on the show.
And that's actually how I found out about Kidical Mass in the first place. And on Macaroni Kid, Macaroni Kid, a story in Boone County, we put all of the fun activities and family-oriented events on our almost famous community calendar. And that was one of the first things I found about you guys. And so I sent it out to some friends of mine who bike and who really enjoy, especially as a family, they bike. And then this summer, you know, I found out about your monthly rides. And so, my job is to really kind of encourage families to engage with each other and the community around them. And I just think that those free little libraries are just fantastic. And in fact, I'm in the process of trying to build one myself. And so, yes, you heard it first here, folks. There's actually a website, I believe it's freelittlelibraries.org, where they have a full registry of all of the libraries, and anyone trying to build one, you can, you know, get registered and get a fun little plaque and get some tips and things like that.
Yeah, I've been to that website, and you can zoom in on your city,
your neighborhood,
and you can find exactly what's available or maybe what's not available and needs to be erected.
So I'm going to build one there. Yeah, and I think it's a fantastic resource, and to, you know, wherever you're at, maybe you're trying a new park and you go, gosh, I want to maybe see if one of those are around here. Or you're visiting family this summer. You know, those are fun little ways to venture out and explore. And, again, all around literacy and the importance of books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Jennifer, I think it's time we officially introduce you. Jennifer Hansen is the blogger mom behind the Macaroni Kid blog of Boone and Story County. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the publisher mom. And as I said, my job is to collect all these fun activities and events. And anybody who's got those type of activities on a monthly basis or a weekly basis or what have you that wants to grow and or wants to attract new people, I'm happy to put it on the calendar, because I think that we have a great audience between the two counties that are just hungry for these kind of fun things to do with their kids.
So I have a question
for
you.
Go ahead.
So you put together a calendar of what's going on. Do you also write articles?
I do.
So, for instance, you could use this baby book club as an example of what somebody
could do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we could talk about how to start one in your own community or your own neighborhood.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of good resources on that on our the Baby Book Club page. I say our because I used to participate and I still claim it. On Sarah's website that she gave the address for, which was babytoddlerbookclub.wordpress.com. And not only does she encourage other parents or caregivers to start a similar club, by going there, as she noted, you have access to a wealth of resources, the activities that they do, the book selection, the snacks, the recipes, the craft instructions. So even if the group is at capacity and new people can't join, there's a ton of resources there that you might be interested in sharing.
Absolutely.
On Macaroni Kid on how to start a similar group.
Yeah, and similarly, your blog, Sandra, about the critical mass bike rides in Ames might be used to inspire somebody from Boone County, for instance, to start a critical mass bike ride in Boone.
Well, which is exactly what happened to me. I would just look online for resources on biking with children when I had my daughter and I wanted to include her in my bike rides and I didn't know where to begin. And I came across all these blogs by different parents writing about the equipment they used, the kind of rides they did, how they made it child-friendly. And that inspired me to start our local ride modeled after other rides in other cities. And the reason I write about it is because I do hope to inspire other parents to do similar events in their neighborhoods. And so on our side, you can find information on what we do and photos from our rides, as well as just information on different systems for biking with kids.
Yeah. Sandra, what's the web address?
AmesCriticalMass.wordpress.com. And we can include that in the notes to the show, too, online.
Yes, we always publish links to things that we've discussed, so that will be included, as well as the Macaroni Kid webpage. So Macaroni Kid is a national kind of brand.
National brand, right. And I am the publisher mom for our local chapter, I guess you could say. And so my territory covers the two counties. And my main job, as I said, is to put all this fun stuff for kids and in one place. And then our articles are on local events, parenting tips, and giveaways, a lot of different things. But we're also a resource. Our website has featured articles, for example, the camps, and we're the only place right now where you can find a full list of camps and programs in the summer for families in the two counties. And then third, every once in a while, we like to have events. And so, like, for example, we're going to integrate the farmers markets. And in particular, we're working with the Boone Farmers Market for having a family farm fest this summer. And I'm also going to be happy to support the Ames Farmers Market throughout the summer, too. And adding some value there, doing crafts and having some fun time with the kids.
Yeah, I saw that one of the activities you had was planting things as well. Do you involve the children in planting outside, or is that for a community garden? Or
when I host an event or I have an event, I look at my venue and where I'm at and my audience. And so, like, for example, we're talking about at the Boone Farmers Market that we're going to work with the Boone County YMCA and doing talking about, like, two things, healthy snacks and things like that. They're going to create some veggie monsters and things like that with some fresh vegetables. And in addition to that, we're looking at doing a small planting so that the kids can take something home with them and, you know, put it on the windowsill or maybe put it in their own backyard within their own garden. We're looking at how we can integrate kids in these experiences and frankly, integrate the families and the moms and dads in the experience with the kids. The family's creating lifelong memories out of this. And so that's kind of why I got into this.
That was something I was going to ask you. How did you start the site?
Well,
how did you begin?
I took it over from a gal who decided to go back to work full time. It was focused on Boone and Ames. And when I moved from Marshalltown, from Kansas City, from Omaha, I didn't know anybody. And I got on this website and I found out about this mom's group. And so I got involved. And I just saw this as absolutely critical for moms like myself, stay-at-home moms, to get involved and to be a part of the community and to get to know more people and for my kids to get to know others. Anyway, so when she decided to go back to work, I knew it was my calling. And so I saw how the viewership had started to grow, and so I did take over the two counties. So needless to say, it's been a lot of fun to engage families and the venues that support them.
That's great. And I think we're going to get back to the list of summer camps you mentioned.
Yeah.
So can you stick around and talk to us
Absolutely.
Some more? Okay, great.
Great. And speaking of green, healthy foods, we've got a little intermission here.
Oh, I frequently think every now and then of the glorious fruit of the noble hen. Eggs, E-double-G-S eggs. My knowledge of eggs is tremendously wide. I've eaten them boiled, I've eaten them fried, poached and shirred and deviled and scrambled, omelets, schmomelets, coddled and frambled. I've eaten them beaten and swizzled and swuzzled, frizzled, gadizzled, bamboozled and fuzzled. I know every way that an egg can be guzzled. And thinking of eggs reminds me of Sam, whose favorite dish is green eggs and ham.
I am Sam. Sam I am. That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
He does not like them, Sam I am. He doesn't like green eggs and ham.
Would you like them here or there?
I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.
He doesn't like green eggs and ham. He doesn't like them.
Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse?
I would not like them in a house. I would not like them with a mouse. I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere.
Green eggs and ham.
He doesn't like green eggs and ham. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like green eggs and ham.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We are celebrating Children's Book Week. I'm your host, Greta Anderson, with my co-host, Sandra Luft. And behind the controls here is Richard Morrison, our engineer.
Hello.
And Rick told me that he had a special memory of Green Eggs and Ham, and that was actually after I chose that little segment for our entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, Green Eggs and Ham, that's, you know, Dr. Seuss has written a lot of great, fun books with good meaning at that behind them. But one of my memories I've had about Green Eggs and Ham is always wanting my mom or my parents or whoever was making breakfast that morning to actually color them green eggs, you know, to have green eggs.
Exactly.
And in ham. You know,
and did you ever get green eggs and ham?
I did. I've actually pestered them. I was like, please put food coloring in this. So it's my memory. So
that's great, Rick. We'll call you Sam from now.
Yeah.
Sam I am.
Yeah, this is one of our daughter's favorite book currently, but she's only 2.5, so she hasn't quite made the request yet for green food coloring in her eggs, so I guess I need to be prepared for that.
Don't know how healthy it is, but it looks great, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun. So
we've enjoyed it. It's a St. Patrick's Day thing, where all of your food needs to be green that day. I make scrambled eggs for the kids every day. And so on St. Patty's Day, we put green food coloring in it. I don't know if it looked all that great, but the kids adored it.
They loved it. Yep.
So I was telling Sandra that I went around and gathered some audio of librarians telling their stories of favorite book memories. And Sandra, as a new reporter, something you'll need to know is that sometimes what you go after is not what you get. But sometimes what you get is better than what you might go after. So I went to the Nevada Public Library seeking a story from the director there, Beth Williams, and Lucinda Anderson, the children's librarian. And, you know, we had a good conversation, but it wasn't about books, surprisingly enough, because we were at the library. It was about the amazing new addition at the Nevada Public Library. They have done just a beautiful job, and really the area that has been impacted the most has been the children's section. They really bumped it out, and they created an activity space that has both carpets and linoleum floor, so there's easy cleanup at the for part of it, and comfort,
yeah.
Comfort for family book time, and it's just a gorgeous new facility. They were assisted by a grant from a local foundation, a foundation in somebody's name, and then also by the citizens of Nevada who voted in favor of a referendum supporting their library. So we here in Ames are all excited about our library.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Being expanded and renewed, as they like to say. But Nevada really stepped up and did a quite quite amazing job with their renovation as well. So kudos to them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm very much looking forward to Art Library reopening after the remodel, I think, scheduled for August this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But honestly, I did have one good conversation about a book with Lucinda Anderson, the children's librarian over at Nevada. We kind of shared about the 100 Dresses by Eleanor Estes. And this book for me was, my mother read it to me. I remember that my mother read it to me. And it's a really, really charming book. I think it's got a similar message as Charlotte's Web, but it's told from a different perspective. So in Charlotte's Web, you kind of identify with the pig and Wilbur, the one who feels left out or not right, or he actually just doesn't want to be eaten for on the buffet. But this one is about a girl. She seems to maybe have a Polish name. She's not as well off as the other children in the community. And the girls kind of look at her askance when they're walking to school. She's always wearing the same old dress. And it's told from those girls' point of view. And she says that she has 100 dresses at home. And that just causes more sort of skepticism about this person because she's always wearing the same one. And it's not until she leaves town that they find out that the 100 dresses that she has at home are just 100 beautiful pictures that she's drawn from her imagination of dresses that she would like to have and colored and, you know, all different colors. And so it's kind of bittersweet because it's a story about an opportunity lost to make a friend at least that's how I remember it.
It's beautiful. I didn't know the book, but I'm going to have to look into it now. It's a powerful story, too, about teaching children about children's lives that don't mirror their own, that look a little different.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It 100 Dresses also brings into the bullying, and that's a huge mm-hmm. topic right now, and something deep in the news. And so it gives, and I believe, from my understanding, it's the point of view of actually one of the not the main person who's doing the bullying, but actually a friend of that girl,
right.
And so she sees she wants to say something, she wants to ask her friend to stop bullying and pushing this girl, but she doesn't have the courage. And and then ultimately when the Polish American girl is, I believe her name is Wanda in the story, it just gets too much. And so her father pulls her out of school and they move to a different town. And this coloring contest brings forth these beautiful images and these all of the 100 dresses that this girl has drawn. Both the friend, the bully, and the friend of the bully both realize that they feel remorse for what they did. And so, I think that, it was written in 1944, and I think it's something that still today is
relevant.
Yeah. And in fact, Stevens Auditorium did a fantastic play on it. And again, it, just another way to kind of bring an old story to a new audience, and whether they were old enough to read it or just old enough to understand the message behind it, it's incredible.
Yeah. For me, the story was very powerful as well, because when I re-encountered it as an adult, I was reading it to a foster daughter who was very much odd and unusual and the type to be subject to bullying. And I guess, I was so excited about the opportunity to be a mother and to share what my mother had shared with me. And one of the things that my mother had shared with me was sewing. And so when I was, when I had my foster daughter in my home, I would make clothes for her and I would like seek her advice, of her imagination to call up these dresses. So, I sure shed a few tears when I read that book to her. She didn't know what was behind all of that, but it was a very precious moment to me. So
that's incredible.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful experience.
That actually kind of like tears me up right now thinking about that, because, you know, you can imagine, I mean, all of that pressure on her to fit in and, you know, and and that's fantastic for you to do that.
Well, anyway, you have giveaways through your blog of some sort.
I mean, we work with a number of different partners, and a lot, and especially like with Stevens Auditorium is a fantastic partner. I've been able to help promote their shows, and we do a few giveaways throughout the year. And so, just kind of for those who aren't familiar yet, you just kind of get involved. And for example, we will work with different artists and even Seven Oaks Recreation and a lot of different things. And just the reason why Stevens Auditorium and the whole giveaway thing got kind of brought up, because one of them was for their show with 100 Dresses. And so anyway, I would definitely encourage everyone to just check us out every week. I do send out a weekly email. But once you subscribe to our website, I do send a weekly email with that week's community calendar.
Remind us of the website address.
Sure.
I don't know if we even mentioned it, actually, for your website.
story-boone.macaronikid.com.
Okay. And tell us more about the summer camp, because that is so relevant. That's coming up this summer, and a lot of parents listening might be wondering what they can do with their kids.
What to do with their children.
Yeah, and you did this wonderful thing by collecting it all in one space, right? Tell us a little bit more, and maybe also where can we find it on the website? Is it easy to find once we get to the website?
It's on the sidebar, and it just says local camps and what have you. And so what it's just a directory. I sent it out to all the camps that I knew about, and then kind of encouraged everyone to track down more information. And so in most cases, the camps actually sent me their info. So it's pretty as complete as possible, with contact information, cost information, kind of a rundown of each of the different camps and the programs that they provide. Mm-hmm.
Can you mention maybe two or three to give us an idea of what types of camps and what age groups we're looking at here?
Sure. Like, for example, one of the ones that I'm going to, and just FYI, I've got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so my 3-year-old is going to be involved with the YMCA in Boone County. They've got some fantastic programs for 3-4-year-olds as well as 5-6-year-olds. And in fact, she's in a unique situation where she's not been to preschool yet. So this will be her first kind of introduction to being away from mom and preschool in an organized sense. And new this year for them is an optional swimming lesson at the end of each day. And so that's something I'm looking forward to. And so, no, we had some great Octagon Art Center, I just found out, has some great summer programs for kids. And those are a little bit older in age. And the Iowa State University has a lot of different things. Again, on the site, you'll see it's broken down. So each department has different programs for children and middle school and high school, for that matter. And in fact, I just found out some great information from Story County Conservation that for their teenagers, just some fantastic opportunities there.
All interest areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you have the energy to gather all of this, because it seems like quite a big job.
Yeah, thanks for doing it for the rest of us. Right?
it's so much fun. And for me as a mom, I feel bad for my kids, because, I mean, they just kind of get thrown into all kinds of different arenas. For me, this is just a great way to kind of encourage families to involve their kids in so many different arenas.
Right. And it sounds like that's what Macaroni Kid does. It encourages an exploration of all different areas of activities.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of coming into the end here. And Sandra, I was wondering if you have a favorite childhood book memory?
That's right. I was supposed to think about this. Well, I do. I don't have a favorite book per se, but I do remember reading a lot, sitting under my desk in my room, making a fort out of it, and hiding underneath there with a book and chocolate, usually, that I would sneak away. And I should say, I'm an only child, and so there was a lot of time spent with a book in my room. But the books I would read were often about kids at boarding school and kids who are in really big group settings, and I would beg my parents all the time to send me to boarding school. So maybe your daughter will have a similarly enthusiastic
Mommy,
experience when she's at camp this summer. I used to really love the idea of all these kids together sharing a room and spending all this time together. So a lot of the books I read.
Was that a series of books?
Yeah,
about
Enid Blyton. I don't know. Maybe some of the listeners will recognize the name. I think she's a British writer, and all her books were translated in German, and that's how I read them as a child growing up in Germany. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting, that idea of going to school being an exciting adventure. This was one of the themes that came up with the two Ames Public Library librarians who I spoke with, Lynn Carey, the director, and Jerry, the children's services manager. So why don't we listen to that?
I had so many favorite books as a child, and one of the things that I did was I had a star system where I rated each of the books. So I had a little box of foil stars in different colors, and each color meant something different to me. So books were assigned a green star or a blue star or a gold star. Gold, of course, was the best. And one of my books had three gold stars in it. It was so wonderful. It was called Morris the Moose Child, and I honestly don't even remember the storyline or anything. I just remember that it was a great, great story, and it was my favorite book. As I got older, when I could write, I started cataloging my books, and I had a card catalog for each book. I had a checkout card in each book, and I had my stuffed animals and dolls. Each had different personalities, of course, and they would check the books out. I still have some of these at home just to remind myself of what a nerd I am. So I probably should have anticipated that I might end up working at a library, but I wanted to be something completely different, and then here I am.
I heard you have a fondness for Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh is my enduring favorite book from probably about the time I was, I would say probably 8 to now. I count that as my favorite book. And I think it's because Winnie the Pooh represents such a wonderful depiction of what a community is, where each member of the community has personality traits that aren't always appealing, and they have their foibles, but everybody loves them for their faults and their wonderfulness alike, and they find ways to make it work. So that's always been, when I think of a favorite book, that's always been my favorite book.
Hi, I'm Jerry Hyde, and I'm the Youth Services Manager at the Ames Public Library. And my favorite book was Muffy Goes to Kindergarten. And Muffy's a pretty little kitty, a tabby cat, and she sneaks in with the little girl that goes to kindergarten for her zoo program that they're having. And they have a little train of zoo animals that were there, and that was, of course, what I did with my little animals as well. They were attending Muffy Goes to Kindergarten, too, as the kitten, and all my other little animals would play around and do that.
That was Jerry Hyde. Well, Lynn Carey, the director of Ames Public Library, mentioned at the beginning of her little spiel about Morris the Moose Child. And, of course, she didn't remember the book. I was curious. I just had to find out what Lynn Carey thought was a 3-star book as a child.
stars.
So I did a little digging around, and it turns out that there are actually 2 copies of a book entitled Morris Goes to School, and Morris is a moose. So I am pretty sure that this is the book that Lynn Carey raved about as a child, and it's a darling book. Morris the Moose wanted candy, but he went to the wrong store. He went to a store that was labeled fish because he couldn't read. And then when he finally got to the candy store, somebody directed him there, he asked for gumdrops, but he asked for 4 gumdrops, which were a penny apiece, even though he had 6 pennies in his hand. And that was because Morris couldn't count. And so the candy store owner encourages Morris to go to school. In fact, he basically drags him to school, and there he meets this wonderful teacher, Miss Fine, who has kind of cat-eye glasses. She's just a crazy teacher who just is like, oh, we have a moose in our classroom now, and he's, of course, larger than all the children and can't fit into the desks very well and takes his nap, you know, under the teacher's desk instead of the children's desk. And he learns his alphabet. He learns how to count. And he definitely entertains all the kids, especially when he goes into the girls' bathroom instead of the boys' bathroom because he can't read quite yet. And then they play make-believe at the end of the day. And some people are some of the kids are pretending to be a tree or a monkey. Well, Morris the Moose goes into the closet, and he comes out with all of the children's clothes hanging from his antlers. And he says, "I'm pretending to be a coat closet." and there's this exceedingly silly picture of Morris with all of the clothes, all of the children's coats hanging from his antlers. And the cat-eyed teacher is just delighted with the concept, and the kids are laughing and having a great time. And I think the story ends with Morris going back to the candy shop, getting just the right number of gumdrops, and then filling his mouth so full of gumdrops that he can't speak. So, certainly on the silly side, but I can see how
it reminds me a little bit of the dinosaur series. Do you know those books? Seems like the current interpretation of that, with dinosaurs inserting themselves into the classroom setting or the playground, and I guess something about that appeals to children, right?
Yeah.
Having an animal.
And going back to maybe not fitting in and or not feeling like you're
right.
fitting in, you can kind of relate to the moose. You know, gosh, I don't fit in the chair right. I don't look right. I'm taller. You know, something I had to deal with. And so those are so endearing.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that Lynn Carey thought that her memory was so arcane, like that this book mm-hmm. was so, you know, kind of out there. Morris the Moose Child. Well, it turns out that one of the librarian who I called up on the phone to check if it was on the shelves said, "Oh, that's a great book." When I said Morris the Moose Goes to School. So I guess it's become a classic.
A classic.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to wrap up the show right now. Jennifer Hansen has been our guest, and thank you so much
thank
for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
She's the publisher mom behind Macaroni Kid. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been one of your hosts, Greta Anderson, along with a new KHOI volunteer, Sandra Luft. Yay!
Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to explore the world of radio, connect with us through our website, khoifm.org, or you can call us at 292-2878, or stop by the station at 410 Douglas Avenue.
Yes, and as mentioned, we will have all of the contact information for our guests and for all the wonderful blogs done by mothers out that we spoke of on our website, khoifm.org. Richard Morrison was our engineer. Thank you, Rick, for assisting us this morning. And thank all of you for listening. Your participation as listener is what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening. Celebrate Children's Book Week. Maybe go to a little free library and pick up a book or drop off a book and enjoy the great literature that's out there for you and your family. See you again on the radio.
I also have many, many fond memories of when my mom was sewing our clothes for school in the summer, that we would sit around. My two older brothers and I would read aloud to my mom all of our different books and read chapters and chapters and chapters of books to her. So lots of wonderful, fond memories of reading and reading out loud, which probably has gotten me to where I'm at and as far as the importance of reading out loud.
That's kind of interesting. It's a reversal.
Yes. Yeah, very much the reversal. And her Winnie the Pooh part, I think my background is in theater and art, and so she was reading and analyzing Winnie the Pooh. I was putting it on film from the film strips and doing visual type of things in high school. So I find that fascinating as well.